If you have your Bibles with you, today is Palm Sunday. But we're not going to do a specific sermon on Palm Sunday. We're going to continue our through the Bible sermon series in the book of Colossians. And even though it's not specifically addressed, you know, Palm Sunday and Jesus on a donkey, the triumphal entry, we're going to talk about Christ. And who this Jesus who rides on a donkey into Jerusalem, who this Jesus is. And the title of the message is the supremacy, the preeminence of Christ. Colossians chapter 1, 15 to 20. Colossians chapter 1, 15 to 20. And if you are able, if you could rise for the reading of God's Word, and after I read it, as you follow along in your Bibles, I want to encourage you once again to bring your physical Bibles, if you have one, and follow along, and if you forget it, then you'll be up there. Colossians chapter 1, 15 to 20, and after I read it, and if you could all, at the end, say, thank, I'm going to say, this is the Word of the Lord, and if you could respond all by saying, thanks be to God, and you could have your seat. Colossians chapter 1, 15 to 20. Hear now God's word. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions, or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. You may be seated. And yeah, I just need help. Mouthful here is the depth here. I mean, if you could join me in prayer really quick and ask for God for help now. Oh Lord, we have your children have read your truth. Your son is much more than we could ever imagine. The depth of Christ, the height of Christ, the width. He is so big, bigger than we could ever imagine. Oh Lord, help us now. Help me to do justice to this incredible, massive truths about your Son. Do your work, through your truth now. Again, shape us and mold us. Teach us. Rebuke us. Correct us and train us in your truth now. Pray all this not by might, not by power, but by your Spirit in and through Christ. Amen. The tragedy of the human race is that this Jesus, as we're trying to celebrate today, the Palm Sunday, and then following Sunday, Good Friday and Sunday is resurrection. Good Friday and resurrection Sunday, the death and the resurrection of Jesus. The tragedy of the human race is that this Jesus is so unknown. Many people think that Jesus is a new character. We read not just in Colossians, but also in John or the Gospels, that Jesus is introduced in the New Testament, and that is not true. The whole Bible, which I've been trying to teach since I got here, the whole Bible, the 66th book, is about Christ. The plan of salvation was worked through Christ in the Old Testament. In fact, as we have read here in Colossians chapter 1, 15 to 20, it says Jesus was in the beginning before all things. But let that sink in. Not only Jesus was before the existence of the universe, in John chapter 1 and Colossians, the passage we read, it says Jesus was in the beginning of creation. Let's read it. John chapter 1. Jesus is the Creator. John chapter 1, 1 through 3, and then verse 10. In the beginning was the Word, the Logos, Jesus, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. Yes, He was before all things. And verse 3, all things. Now we are in creation. Genesis chapter 1 and following, all things. Not some of the things, everything. Everything were made through Christ, through Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. In verse 10, He was in the world, and the world was made, created through Christ, through Him. Yet the world did not know Him. In our text, Colossians chapter 1, Colossians chapter 1, 15 to 17, He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by Him, by Christ, all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible, invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through Christ, through Him, and for Christ, for Him. He is before all things. We just mentioned that. And I love this phrase. In Christ, all things hold together. In other words, you were made through Christ. I was made through Christ. Everything that you see, the materials, wood, rock, water, metals, precious metals, everything were made by Christ and through Christ. And I've been living in the Western New York, 6 years in Ithaca, and then going on 3 years in Rochester. And when we were in Ithaca, there's parks everywhere, you know, like in two to five mile distance, and it's just beautiful. All the gorges, I don't know if you guys know what gorges are, these tunnels, you know, these canyons that was made through the glaciers. And it's just the beautiful trees and the path you could go and see the gorges. And it's just, the joke was the gorges are gorgeous. I've heard that many times living in Western New York and coming to Rochester. And those who live in Buffalo or in Canada there, I do apologize. Well, I don't know if I really apologize, but I think Letchworth, and if you guys have not been to Letchworth and you've been here living in Rochester, you need to go. I think Letchworth is one of those beauty. I think, honestly, I've been to both. I've been to the, what's that called in Buffalo there? What do you call that again? The Niagara, the Niagara waterfall compared to Letchworth. I know I'm a little biased. I mean, this little gem of a place called Letchworth is right here, like less than an hour away or hour away. And especially in the change of season, go there. This is beautiful. You know, I love going to Letchworth. The change of foliage, you know, the path and the many falls along the path and the trees is beautiful. Christ made that. As we see the beauty in this world, we are experiencing the manifestations of the beauty of God by the means of the Son, by the means through Christ. It is only through Christ that we understand anything about God, about His holiness. We only understand God's holiness through Christ. We could only understand about His love, the height and the width and the depth, Paul said, only through Christ. About the wisdom through Christ. About God's power as we see Him in Christ. And I think that's why when Paul writes to the church, in many of his letters, especially the book of Philippians, he understands the bigness of the Son, the magnitude of Christ, and he wants with his mouth, as he's living here, he wants to be up there with Christ, sit at the right hand of God, but he's here and he wants to tell people about Christ. Not only tell people about Christ, he wants to know Christ. That's all he wants to know. His passion in this life, or short time, is to know Christ. He's not exaggerating. The reason you are alive today and breathing and not dead is by and through Christ. Let me stop here. This can relate to even Christians. But if you are not a Christian this morning, all things are through Christ. If you're not Christian this morning, you were made through Christ. Not only He made you through Christ, He is holding you and sustaining you and feeding you. Everything that you have, everything, your existence, sustaining of your life, is all because of Christ. And you are taking your mind and your mouth and your life with all that God has given you by making you, sustaining you, and you are rebelling against Christ. Not acknowledging Christ. Every single second of your life, which I did for 19 years of my life, you see why the wrath of God is coming to unbelievers. It's not a small sin. When all this is happening, our theologians call it borrow capital. You're borrowing. Everything you have is Christ. And with the borrow capital, you are cursing, ignoring, stiff-arming Christ. Minimizing Christ. Denying Christ. That's why the wrath will come. He's angry. And if you're a Christian this morning, you could understand why that is so bad. That's why we confess our sin on Sunday. All right. There's some profound wisdom going on here in Colossians and John chapter 1, that the world was made through Christ. And this is the wisdom. Now I'm talking about the ideal here, the perfect in Genesis chapter 1. This is before the fall. I'm trying to paint a picture here. When God made this world, you and me, and everything in it, through Christ, He made it with wisdom. When God made this world, He made everything in this world, including His creatures, made in the image of God, you and me, and every human, to bring glory to God. That's how He made us, in wisdom, in everything that we do. Every action, every word, every thought, all will bring glory to God, our Maker, our Creator. I mean, what kind of wisdom is this? In other words, as I say, when you step outside and see the beauty of His creation, whatever that is, the trees and the foliage, or your eyes, you praise God and the wisdom of the Creator. When you wake up in the morning, you praise God because the way He takes care of you every day. All eyes look to you, and you give the food to us, to His world, at the proper time, the psalmist says. You praise God. You teach your kids to praise and thank God. All things come from God through the means of the Son. And when you wake up in the morning, I praise God for what He is doing through you. I'm talking about a perfect world, the ideal before the fall. Profound wisdom. There's wisdom there. Look what he says in Isaiah chapter 43, verse 7. Isaiah chapter 43, sorry. Remember, read my mind, not my lips. Isaiah 43, verse 7. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 7. Put up there. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created, what? For God's glory, for His, my glory, whom I formed and made. That is your and my job description as we live in this world. He made you for His glory. Paul says, whether you eat, you know this verse, right? Whether you eat, whether you drink, whatever you do, do it to do all to the glory of God. When God made us through Christ, this is ideal again. He gave us the will, the power, and the understanding to do everything for His glory. And when He made it, He says in Genesis, what did He say? This is very good. This is the exact opposite what the scientists say, right? The world was made through evolution. They see evolution, they see man, they see humanism. But one day, even them, they will see that God made everything in wisdom, and all things were made for his glory. The heavens declare the glory of the Lord. In other words, when God made this world in wisdom through Christ, he made us in a certain way. He designed us in a certain way to bring God glory in everything, all things. And of course, that's the idea again, but you know the story. The story continues. But through our sin, through your sin and my sin, we are broken people now. We have broken his perfect creation, perfect design. We don't like the way he designed it. I mean, come on, you know, all things, the glory of God. We don't like that. So we want to change the rules. And we forget about the Creator. We forget that the Creator made the world through wisdom. We think we are smarter than he is. So we change the rules. But you can't change the rules. God looked at the world that he made through Christ. And again, he said, this is wisdom. This is perfection. This is acceptable. Pleasing. Don't change it. You can try to change the rules, but it won't work. You can try to fly your car off the cliff, and it might be fun for 5 seconds, but it won't work. The crash is inevitable. You change God's design and his wisdom, you will die. The wages of sin is what? Death. Sin is changing the design of how God the Creator made in his wisdom all things, everything, to his glory. That's what sin is. This is how God made it, all things, for his glory. And so we do it just how he made this world, you and me. The wisdom book says man was made upright, straight, not crooked. Perfection. He made us righteous. He made us holy. He made us 100% righteous. And we're the ones who've broken that model, that design. God made us to follow his will perfectly, and we don't want to. It's not that we can't, we don't want to. That is sin right there. We have deviated very far from his design, and now we are broken. The Bible is clear. The Bible describes why we are here on earth, why he created us, what he expects of us daily, seconds, months, hours. We are here to follow his purposes, his will. And of course, in our sin, we don't. We will recreate his will and his design and pour our own meaning into it. And so not only God
is the creator. Not only he made us in wisdom, all things in this world for his glory, because he made the world. If that's true, he designed us in a certain way.
Then Christ becomes the judge. Remember our definition of the judge? The judge, before he makes the punishment, before he does the sentencing, the judge sees what happened to the very creation that he made and he designed to do.
Because he's the creator, he made all things. He designed you. He made you. He knows how you should function and do. He knows the expectation that he has for his perfect creation that he made in wisdom for his glory. He's like an architect who designs the, you know, the building and all the, what do you call it? The paperwork, you know? And then the workers design the building according to the, what is it called? The blueprint. Yeah, thank you. Blueprint. And they build it. And the architect says, oh yes, that matches that. Perfect design. And that's good. And if it's crooked, if something's off of the design, the creator is able to say, this is a good building or not so good building. You gotta fix it. He's the only one who's able to judge the building. Just like that, Christ, the creator, who made the world and you and me in wisdom for his glory, will become the judge. He doesn't care. Our God, the creator, doesn't care if you're a good athlete or not. He doesn't care how much laptop and computer. I mean, I have like two desktop, and I have like an iPad, I have an iWatch, and I have a pencil, and all these stuff. Doesn't matter. Doesn't care about any of that. Doesn't matter what you accomplish in this world. The only thing the judge, the creator, Christ, is concerned about is if you are doing the way God, through Christ, designed you.
And the Creator and the Judge will weigh how you react to certain things, certain situations, and he will judge you.
Not your standard, his standard. Remember, his standard is what? Perfection. 100% righteous. That's how he made you. Everything that you do to glory God. Did you do that in this situation? With this thing?
All things, the judge will scrutinize you. It's a pretty scary thing. Let me give you a verse. I'm trying to make this up here. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. There's one thing that scares me and should scare you and frighten you. If Christ is indeed who made all things in wisdom, and he's also the judge. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. For we all must all appear. Before that, he says, when you die from this world, out of existence, he says, after that, you will go directly into the judgment. He says, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. Christ, the Creator, is the only one who designed you in wisdom for his glory
is the only one who's able to make the right judgment. Do you do the way I designed you to be?
That's a pretty scary thing, isn't it? I think it is. Look at another scary thing. You guys know, remember the parable of the talents? Remember Jesus gave, this is a parable, of course, but talking about God. God gave this man 5 talents. I forget, the 10 talents or 5 talents. And the guy made 5 more. And God said, "Well done, my faithful servant." Another person gave 3 talents. And he made a profit and got 3 more. And God says, "What? Well done, my faithful servant. Good job." And the other servant, I forgot there was like 3 or 4 servants. Anyway, last servant gave 1 talent. And he buried it. He didn't make a profit. And you would think God would be like, "Oh, try again. You know? I'll give you more time." What was his response in the parable? 5 got 5 more. His judge was like, "Good job." 3 got 3 more. "Good job." The last servant buried it, got 0 profit. And he says what? Jesus says what? "You wicked servant. You lazy servant. Depart from me to outer darkness where there's gnashing of teeth." Who are we dealing with here? The Creator, the Judge, His standards. He loves His servants who makes a profit for His name's sake. Not for your own name, not for your own glory, for His kingdom. That's the standard. That's the judgment. What would He say about you? What would He say about me and my life as the Creator who designed us, who is the Judge, looks at you and me? Verses like this is scary. It scares me. Because He made the world, all things, through Christ in wisdom. And the Judge. Let's go back to Colossians. But there's an encouraging thing. Very encouraging thing. Because it says this: "For by Him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authority. All things were created through Him and for Him." Before He's before all things hold together. You know the song that maybe you guys sang when you were little kids? And the song goes like this: "He has got the whole world in His hand." I always thought that was like a silly kid song, you know, like adult songs sing, you know, these songs. These are only kids. But there's some profound wisdom going on here that should encourage you. He's got the whole world, talking about Jesus, in His hands. He's got the whole world in His hands. He's got the whole world in His hands. He's got the whole world in His hands. And that's so encouraging. All things were made through Christ. In other words, nothing in this world or anyone can hurt you if you are in the hands of the Creator. The hands of Christ. But Jesus says, in this world you will have trouble. In this world you will have diseases. You will have pain and trials.
all kinds of bad things will happen in this world. And then he says, but Jesus says, I have what? Overcome the world. Jesus, the Creator, have overcome the world. Even the sea can overwhelm Jesus. No mountains, nothing can stop this Jesus, the Creator. And if you are in His hands, nothing can stop you. Nothing can hurt you because you are in the hands of Christ, the Creator. Nothing. Paul talks about that. I don't have time to read it. Time is running up. And he talked about that in the book of Romans. Nothing, nothing, nothing. If you're in Christ's hands, because He's a Creator, He made all things. And if you're in Him, and if He's holding you in His hands, who holds all things together, nothing, nothing can stop you. Not even death itself. That's what we're going to celebrate. I don't want people to cry when I die and leave this earth. I mean, maybe they will cry. That's not cry as bad as it. I don't want people to laugh when, you know, and there's a certain measure comparable to what's happening and the truth. Yeah, probably they will mourn. But more than mourning, I wanted to celebrate and happy because death doesn't conquer those who we are in the Creator's hands. He has promised us nothing can touch us if we are in Christ, not even death, nothing. Coronavirus can't. Maybe coronavirus, it took many people. But those who are in Christ will be resurrected from death. But if you're not in Christ, you should be really, really worried about dying. Because when you die, He says you'll be in the very judgment seat of the Creator, and He will judge you. And you will be separated from the sheep who are in God's hands. And you'll be separated to the goats. And you will perish in hell forever. Where are you? Where are you this morning? Are you in the hands of the Creator Jesus, the Judge and the Creator? My testimony, you guys all know, I only have a couple more minutes, actually. That's wrong. I have like 5 more minutes or a few more minutes. My testimony, I will end this. My testimony is that before I became a Christian, on the outside, I tried to be the perfect person. You know, I worked on my grades, you know, all A's and 1 B or something in high school. I mean, in the children, or elementary, they didn't really do like A's and B's, they like check and check pluses, whatever. Or check pluses, probably. And I made it seem that everything was so perfect inside. I want other people to think like I'm young. He looks perfect. His grades are perfect, you know. He's not like, you know, awkwardly like, you know, he's not coordinated. On the outside, it looked like I had everything together, and I try to make it that I have everything together. But in the inside, I knew I was broken. I was falling apart inside. And as I explained, I was like on the brink of like collapsing. And by God's mercy, I met Christ. And I realized I was in His hands now. Not only He's a judge. Now, the encouraging thing is I could go to Him now when I'm broken inside, falling apart, and the Creator could fix me now. Not only if He will, He can. And that's the encouraging thing, that Christ made all things and he holds all things together in his hands. Let's pray. Let's pray. And if we could sing the last song that we sung, Sam, if you can. Believe in that. Let's pray. Father in heaven, what wisdom, what glory that you have made all things through your Son, and all things through your Son hold together. And only those who are in the Creator Jesus' hand, only they will make it in this world, this dark world, more darker than we paint. Is a world that is twisted, dark, perverted, twisted generation, he said. Oh Lord, I pray for mercy. Mercy for your children. That this truth that Christ made us through his wisdom, and he holds us in the power and the wisdom of his hands. Oh Lord, help us to follow him and him alone. The way you are redesigning us from sin to righteousness, slaves, you said, to righteousness. And those who have not tasted, those who are not in your hands, oh Lord, have mercy. Quicken their deadness into life to see the beauty and the power and the wisdom of the Creator Jesus. Now I pray, have mercy on them. Oh Lord, we need your help. Have mercy on us. Encourage us. And set us free by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen.